Let's all say amen. Amen. And we're thankful to have another opportunity to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about when I was doing announcements this morning. I said, no, I'm going to be, we was in a brother's meeting. I was encouraging the brother, we need to be positive. And I was going to say this morning, when I did morning announcement, I was going to say, yield not to temptation. Yeah, because some of us have been tempted this afternoon. Amen. Yeah, tempted about, you got a Super Bowl going on if you didn't know that. Yeah, now for some of us, that's not a temptation. Yeah, for others of us, that is a temptation. There's a temptation because I'm a sports fan, I love sports, and this is Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, and so for some of us, that is a temptation. And then there are others of us that have yielded to the temptation. Yeah, we're not here this afternoon. We're not here to worship God. But for those that are here, for those that it was not a temptation, thank you, Lord, for your presence here. For those that it may have been a temptation, amen. Thankful for being here, for being able to put aside those earthly joys or enjoyments that we could have, that we can come back tonight to hear from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so what I want to do is to bless us, those that are here, by looking at the Word of God. I want to speak from the subject, understanding what love is. Yeah, understanding what love is. We'll find that there are four Greek words, and I'm going to use that tonight because oftentimes I get up here and I'll say oftentimes that you don't need to know what the word is in Greek as long as you know how to use it in English, amen? But tonight, I want to do something different tonight. There are four Greek words that describe the one English word, love, in the Bible. Three of these Greek words are actually used in the New Testament. And what I want to do tonight is I want us to have a clear understanding of what love is, amen? And for those that may not know the history of the Bible, when you look at the Old Testament was written in Hebrew because Hebrew was the dominant language back then. But in the New Testament, those are historians. Alexander the Great was over the world at the time, and so Alexander the Great was Grecian. So the New Testament was written in Greek, and it has been translated to us in English. And so sometimes when they translated those words, we'll find the word love, and we'll find the word several times written, but those words often have different meanings. So what I want to do tonight, in the time that I have, is to help us to have a clearer understanding of what love is from a biblical concept, and then we can make application on how that works in the Word of God. And again, there are times that I'll use the board with Scripture. Other times, I have you use your Bible in Scripture. But for the first word, love, we find in the Bible, Brother Oz, meet me at John 13 and... Okay, am I doing something wrong, Brother Brown? Okay, there we go. John 13, 34, the Bible says what?
A new commandment I give unto you,
yeah,
that ye love one another,
mm-hmm,
as I have loved you,
mm-hmm,
that ye also love one another.
So now Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. The commandment that I'm giving you is that you love, notice he said, one another. As I have loved you, he said that you also love one another. Next verse. By this
shall all men know that,
yeah,
ye are my disciples,
yeah,
if you have love one to another.
So now, the first time I'm using the word love, in the Greek, the word is philia. You see it spelled in there. Now, this type of love, it says, is a feeling of gentle caring for someone. It is a fondness that one has for another. It also can be a friendship type love. So the first type of love that we all ought to have is a friendship type love. Amen? I use myself as an example. Today, I went to, this afternoon, I went to Sister Levinson. And I apologized to her this morning. The sister had a meeting. I'll do an open confession now. The sisters had a meeting scheduled. And I shared at the time that we had a ministry meeting scheduled and that the sisters' meeting would have interrupted those meetings. However, and that's why we need to have this type of love, because afterwards someone came to me and shared with me, Brother Stroud, we were only going to meet for about 10 minutes. We wanted to meet with all the sisters 10 minutes, which would not have hindered the minister's meeting. That makes sense? So what I did was I said, well, you know what? I appreciate you sharing that with me. I say I owe Sister Levinson an apology because I stopped her meeting. But what I'm saying is that when we have a relationship that we have a fondness for one another, you can do that. You can apologize to somebody and they'll be receptive to it. But when we don't have this type of love, when we don't care for one another, when we don't have a friendship, sometimes it's hard for us to talk to each other. Yeah. Because if I didn't feel that me and Sister Livingston was on good terms, I wouldn't have cared to go back to her. First thing, so what? Secondly, I would not have gone back because I didn't think we had that type of relationship. But we all need to work on, Jesus said, if you love one another, we need to have friendship with everybody in this congregation. Amen. There should be no one here that I'm not a friend with. Amen. No one in this congregation. Amen. Yeah. And if I have offended you in any way, you owe me the responsibility to come and tell me. That's what God says. God says that. Go to him and him. Go get me Matthew 18:15. Show you the Bible. Show us. We need to work on this, and we'll find that if we work on the things that God has already told us how to get along. Amen. Our problem is we won't get along. In Matthew 18:15, what does the Bible say?
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee,
okay,
go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Okay, read.
If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Now, so the first thing, when you're talking about how we develop a good relationship, the Lord says in Matthew 18:15, if my brother has trespassed against me, I should go to him and him alone and tell him what his fault was. Yeah, that's him alone. Now, the second part of it, go to Matthew chapter 5, Brother Oles, while you're there. You got your Bibles you can turn to. Matthew 5, let me show the other side. So the one side, Jesus said that if somebody does something wrong to you, go to that person and him alone. Tell him what it is. If he listens to you, then you warn your brother. He won't listen, and it's an issue with you. He said, get you two or three more, go back to the brother. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 23, we have another example. Therefore,
if thou bring thy gift to the altar,
uh-huh,
and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee.
Now, the second side of it, the first side is that Brother Oles has done something wrong to me. I go to Brother Oles and I tell him his fault between me. I don't tell nobody else. I go to Brother Oles. Brother Oles, I'll speak to you for a minute. I share with him what he is offending me about, and if he accepts it, I've gained my brother. We go on. Now, the second part is, I remember that I did something wrong to him. What's the Bible say?
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar,
uh-huh,
and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
How you build love. So the second scenario is that I've done something wrong to Brother Oles, and I know about it. Brother Oles don't have to come to me. Sister Vendetta didn't have to come to me. I went to her. When I found out how the meeting was going to be, I came looking for her. Sister Vendetta, can you remember me? I want to apologize to you. Why? Because I'm trying to work on this relationship.
Amen.
I'm trying to work on this relationship. I'm trying to love. He said, if you love one another. So, again, the second scenario is that if you know you've done something wrong to somebody, you need to take responsibility. You go, and the word reconcile in the text means to settle. Yeah. Yeah, the Bible says that we go and the Bible says, leave there thy gift, verse 24, before the altar, go thy way, first be first. Be reconciled to thy brother. Then you can't worship God when you ain't got no relationship with the other people.
Amen.
We come to worship service knowing we got often issue with people and we think we can worship God. No, God said you got it wrong. Amen. Go back and apologize to that person that you've offended. Then come and worship me. So the first one we need to work on, we have a feeling where we care for each other. We have a fondness for each other. Yeah. We should develop that with members. And that's why we have our house-to-house fellowships and different fellowships. When we're able to do things away from this building, we can become fond of each other. We can develop relationship with each other. But if we all we do is just come here and worship and go home, and then you live a distance from me, I live a distance from you, and we never come together, we won't have no relationship. So the first type, philia, it's a friendship type love. Yeah. First type. Second type, we don't find it used in the scripture, but the word is eros. It describes a type of love, even though the word itself is not actually used in the scripture, we can see it being used. All right. Okay. Read by those.
Marriage.
Now, hold on now. This is a machine. You're a human being. You got to be able to work. Now, I can, this going to mess up on me. But you flesh and blood. Come on, brother.
Marriage is honorable and all.
Yeah.
And the bed undefiled.
Yeah.
But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
So now, in that text, we find he said marriage is honorable and all. In other words, marriage is held in honor among all. He said, but the bed is undefiled. So when we look at the word bed, and I'm showing you how the word eros, what it means. The word bed is simply a place for lying down, such as the marriage bed. So what the Hebrew writer said, the word eros that's used in the scripture, the word undefiled means to be free from contamination, a husband and wife lawfully married and free from unlawful sexual intercourse. So eros is a type of sexual love. It's an intimacy that a man, husband and wife, they're lawfully married in the sight of God. Yeah. Because if you're doing it any other way, that's sinful. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Go there, Brother Oz, in verse 1. So eros is a type of physical intimacy that a husband and wife that is lawfully married should have one for another. 1 Corinthians 7 says what?
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me,
yeah,
it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
But?
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication,
yeah,
let every man have his own wife,
yeah,
and let every woman have her own husband.
So when a husband and wife marries one another lawfully, that's the Greek word is eros. That's the word that we find that defines what that type of intimacy is. But whenever I'm engaging in intimacy and physical contact sexually and I am not lawfully married, that's sin. That's fornication. Yeah. So when we do it the way God say do it, it is pleasing in the sight of God. So again, we don't find the word, but there's the Greek word is eros. E-R-O-S is the word. Again, it's talking about the intimacy between a husband and wife that is lawfully married, and they are not one. Their bed is undefiled. Why? Because they're married lawfully in the sight of God. Yeah. That's the second word. So we have philia is what we should try to develop with one another, where we, this congregation, where we love one another. The second type, when we see written in Hebrew, the writer's talking about the relationship, the bed between the husband and wife, again, that's lawfully married in the eyesight of God. The third Greek word is the word stargos. It's found in, go from the Romans 1:31. Yeah. And this is a type of family love.
Without understanding,
yeah.
Covenant breakers,
mm-hmm.
Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful.
Yeah, so now, notice the Bible says it's without natural. The word affection is where you find the Greek word, he said, estargo, which is without natural. It's the love of the family. It's that type of love that the parents should have for the children and children for parents. Also, it's a family type love. It's a love that we have for those that are our family members. And as the word says, it's especially for a parent and a child. Go to Matthew. Turn your Bibles, everybody, to Matthew 15. I'm going to give you a case of Starge seen in the Bible. Matthew 15, 21.
Then Jesus went thence,
uh-huh.
And departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon.
Okay, read.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast,
yeah.
And cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.
Hold right there. So now, what you have is, this is, you're going to see a Stargate type of love. You have a mother whose love for her daughter was such that she came to Jesus. The Bible says she cried unto him, saying, Lord, help my daughter. She's grievously ill with a devil. Read on.
But he answered her not a word.
Okay.
And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
So when she came to him, this is a parental type love. When she came to Jesus, she wanted help for her child. And Jesus told her in his response to see how deep her affection was for her child. Jesus said, wait a minute. I am sent but only unto the lost sheep of Israel. Then came she and, read verse 25.
Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me.
So her response is, Lord, I understand that you only come to the those lost sheep of Israel, but what I'm asking you, love, Lord, I have a daughter. She's grievously ill with a devil, and I'm asking you, Lord. She said, could you help me? Read.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.
Read.
And she said, true, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
So notice again, when you're talking about parental love don't allow things to stop them. Two times she could have given up when Jesus told her, wait, first of all, you know, I only come to the lost sheep of Israel. She said, yeah, Lord, I know that, but Lord, I just need you to help me. Then he told her again, he said, now, you know, it's not fit for me to take bread from the children of Israel and cast it to dogs. She said, true, Lord. She said, but understand this here. Dogs eat the crumb which fall from the master's table. Now notice what Jesus said in verse number 28 regarding her. Read.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her,
uh-huh.
O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
So this is the type of love that a parent would have for a child, and a child can have for a parent, that again, when you are a real parent, let me say this, you won't stop until you get what's necessary for your children. That's the type of love. That's the family type of love. And we have that sometimes with brothers and sisters. You love that person. This is the type of love that you don't stop until you get help for that person. Amen. And so God says in this text here, Jesus said that, he said, great is thy faith. He said, be it unto thee even as you wilt. And the Bible says her daughter was made whole the very same hour. So we find here that's a family type love, the type of love that we have for family that's different from love that we have from friendship. It's different from the love that a husband and wife may have. This type of love is a love that we have for family. And then we have the fourth type of love. John 3:16. It's called agape. This is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. It is defined by God in measurable and perfect love for mankind. And John 3:16, Brother Old.
For God so loved the world,
yeah,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
So now this type of love is different from, he said, for God so loved the world. This is agape love. It describes the attitude of God toward the human race. It is a sacrificial and unconditional form of affection. God sacrificed his Son. His love for mankind was unconditional. It's nothing we could have done that would have stopped God from showing his love. That's agape love. That's agape love. The type of love that God had for man. And we find that, look at Romans 5 and 8. We'll see it where God shows his sacrificial love in Romans 5 and 8. The Bible says,
but God commended his love toward us.
Yeah.
In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Understand this here. God commended that sacrificial love toward us in the form of Jesus Christ. And he did it. It was unconditional because we were sinners then. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. So when you get to that point, when you get to that level, then you have the type of love that God wants us to have. 1 John 4:10 and 11, Brother Old.
Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us.
Yeah.
And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Yeah.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
So God, he was telling us that herein is love. Not that we love God, but God agape us. He sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sin. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Go to John 21:15. I'll let us see in the context. Jesus was talking to Peter about agape love, and Peter was talking about filial love. And John, Brother Brooks, I didn't know if you was going to get to that text this morning, but in John 21 and verse number 15, Brother Oles.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
mm-hmm,
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?
Yeah.
He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs.
So now what Jesus was saying to Peter, he was saying, if we look at the context, he was saying, Simon, son of Jonah, he said, agape thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I filial thee. So the love was different. God was asking him, do you love me sacrificially? Do you love me unconditionally? And he said, Lord, you know I'm a friend of yours. Read.
He said to him again the second time,
uh-huh,
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep.
So again, Jesus said to him, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, he said, agape thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I filial thee. But God was not talking about, I don't want you to be my friend. I'm asking you to love me sacrificially, unconditionally. Are you able to love me like that? And I'm saying to all of us, we need to grow. When our love grows to that level of agape, no Super Bowl won't keep me from worship.
Amen.
Yeah. And that sickness that I have on Sunday, that I go to work on Monday, I'd rather come to worship on Sunday and call in on Monday if I have to. Why? Because my love level has grown. Agape love, again, is one that is, God did that for us. God asked his Son to put on a human body, to come down to this earth and give his life for us. He said, I agape thee. I love you. Yeah. But sometimes we filia our love toward God. It's a friendship type thing. No, that's the type of love we ought to have for one another. That's what he said in John 13. He said, then are you my disciples? He said, men shall know by the love you show toward one another. And I'm saying to all of us, we need to get our act together. But if I know I am walking around with issues against someone else, I need to work on that. Yeah, I need to work on that. Now, you can stay, well, we don't get along, but you need to try to get along. Yeah, you need to try to get along. Yeah, go to Romans chapter 12. Let me show you how you're supposed to try to get along. Yeah. Before I come to a close. Well, what do you do, Brother Strider, if, that person don't like me and I, you just do what God say do. Start at verse number, Romans 12, 17. Get your Bibles there. Romans 12, 17. What does Paul, in writing to the Romans, say?
Recompense to no man evil for evil.
Mm-hmm.
Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
So first of all, you got to have a mindset that if somebody do you wrong, you ain't going to try to do them wrong. That's the first thing. She did me wrong, he did me wrong, I'm going to get them back. He says the word recompense means pay back to no man evil for evil. He said provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible.
As much as lies in you,
yeah.
Live peaceably with all men.
What Paul was telling them, if it depends on whether me and Brother O's going to get along, we're going to get along. If it depends on me. He says in the text, if it be possible, as much as lies in you. Now, sometimes some people won't be friendly. You have those in the body that's not friendly. Yeah. But what he's talking about, I can't control how you behave, but I can control how I behave towards you. He said in verse 19, dearly beloved,
avenge not yourselves.
Yeah.
But rather give place unto wrath.
Okay.
For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord.
See, God is saying, understand this here. Anytime somebody does something to you, you need to let God take care of it. Because part of what God made of us, a trichotomy, man is also emotional. Because see, if you do something to somebody in my family, I may go too far. Yeah. You have people now that's locked up because they went too far. Somebody did something to their family member and they went too far. Yeah. So God says to all of us, anytime somebody wrong you, Jesus said, vengeance belongs to me. Yeah. Now some of us, we got to grow to that level. That somebody wrong me and I'm going to let Jesus help. Because sometimes we think we need to help Jesus out. Yeah. Well, Lord, you don't know what they done to me. No, he do know. That's why he gave us this text. He said, therefore, verse 20.
If thine enemy hunger.
If your enemy hunger.
Feed him.
Breathe.
If he thirst, give him drink.
Now God said, if you got somebody that don't like you, that's your enemy. Yeah, he don't care for you. God said, if that person hunger, he said, give him food. If he thirsty, give him a drink. Read.
For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Yeah.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
See, that's a growth process. You grow to the point that you don't overcome evil by doing evil. You overcome evil by doing good.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Bible says, and you know how sometimes you can have people that don't really care for you, and you do something nice to them, and they don't even know how to say thank you real well. It'll choke them a little bit. You know, because guess what? They ain't expect, they want you to treat them like you. They want you to treat them the way they treating you. Yeah. You know, that's the Old Testament, we say eye for an eye. No, the Bible tells us to turn the other cheek. Yeah. And so how do we, sometimes we can show love that can win another person over. We can win them over by showing that love. And the Lord tells us in the text that we overcome, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on a person's head. He said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, as I close, understanding what love is. I thought I hinted at it on last Sunday when we talked about loving one another. That was philia type love, a friendship type love, a fondness for one another. But I wanted to share that the Bible, when you see the word love, they can have a various meaning depending on the context in which it is used. So God talks about the Greeks had four different words for the word love. He had one was a friendship type love. We have philia. You had eros, was a type of, again, relationship that a husband and wife that lawfully married, because if you're doing it outside that, that's lust, that's not love. Yeah, sometimes we get that mixed up when you see two people saying, well, I love it. No, you lust for that person. Because if it's not a lawful marriage, that bed is defiled, it's not undefiled. It is contaminated because you ought not be in the bed together. Amen. Yeah. Hopefully that'll help somebody. But then we also, again, we talk about that family. Star J is that family type love. Love, we showed example of a mother have for a child. It also can be a child for the mother. Sometimes you'll see babies when they get old enough and they hear that mother's voice, that head will raise up because they know that mother's voice. And see, Jesus said that about us. He said, another voice will they not follow. We have to grow in the Word of God that when we hear stuff that sounds strange, it don't sound good to me. When I hear about instruments in worship, that sounds strange. Women preaching, that sounds strange. Why? Because I've trained my ear, just as a baby would train their ear to hear that mother's or that father's voice. They know that voice, and they'll come. Yeah. Amen. I know when I was a little kid growing up in Florida, my mother, back then, it would get dark, and when dark came, it was time to be in the house. And my mother, you would just hear that voice. And I don't care whatever's going on. Amen. When you heard that voice, my mother would call it, my nickname was Furman. My other brother was Chester and Ronnie. My mother said, Furman, Chester, Ronnie! Yeah, just like that. And we knew. That's how she did it, because they didn't take the time to call nobody individually. You know, she said, Furman, Chester, Ronnie! And I don't care what would happen. The guy had a ball in the hand. No, you be Tom Brady by yourself. Yeah, yeah. Because back then, mother didn't play. Yeah, I had a single parent raise three of us by herself, and when she said something, we moved. Yeah, because back then, your mother, they pick up anything. Yeah, I mean, when I say anything, yeah, I mean, you learn how to duck at an early age. Yeah, I'm saying, because back then, you know, and I'm saying, and it was a type of love that they had, but back then, that love that your parents had for you, they didn't want you to go astray. You know, the main thing was, back then, was making sure you get education and you get a better life for yourself. Yeah. And then when you start going down that road, they didn't allow you to go down that road. Yeah. No, they said, no, and my mother tells you, no, you ain't do that, you won't do that up in here. Yeah, you may do it, but it ain't going to be up in here. Yeah. I told y'all the story about my grandmother put my daddy out. Yeah, back then, no, I'm saying they didn't play. Yeah, my dad tell me now, my grandmother told him he was hanging around with them young guys on the street corner. Some of y'all may be doing that now. And she said she came home one day and went to bed, and he woke up, she woke him up that morning, and she said, I just said, Bobo, that's my father. Bobo, she said, yes, ma'am. Your suitcase on the porch. And back then, you didn't raise up. You got up. And you got out. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, if more of us raise our children with that type of dream, you're going to make something out of yourself. That's what she told him. No, you finish school, you going to do something. No, get up out of here. Yeah, some people say, but he went down, down, left from Tampa, went down to Miami, waited till his job came in the Eastern Airline, and he came back and worked 30 years. But sometimes with our children, sometimes people call it tough love. No, you just do what's right. And sometimes with our kids, we got to make sure that you are not going to be a failure. You're going to do what you need to do. And when we see them not going down the right street, we need to have the type of love that God had for us. Sometimes God will punish us when we don't do right. Yeah. You know what's right. Yeah. Yeah. You know what's right and won't do what's right. Get from Hebrews 10. I'm closing. 4:30. I'm closing. Show you what God said that. Show you in the Bible. Hebrews 10. For those. And look at verse. Look at verse 10:26. Hebrews 10:26. When we know better. When we know better.
For if we sin willfully,
yeah,
after that we have received the knowledge of the truth,
yeah,
there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Yeah, so Bob Lord tells us, sometimes we get to a point you know right from wrong. And we got to do that was right and not do that was wrong. We talked today, we need to grow in our love for one another. Now we know what God says about it. Now we got to put it into practice. Amen? And so as I close, the type of love that God said, had for us, if I got it, Brother Owens. 1 John 2:2, go back to the text. The Bible says, and Christ, Brother Quincy said this afternoon, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What John wrote to them was letting them know that Jesus, what the word propitiation means, the act of making atonement, what Jesus became was the means whereby sins were covered and forgiven. Jesus died on the cross for us. That's what the word propitiation means. Jesus was the one that God asked to show the love for mankind, and he said, I want you to be a propitiation for the sins of mankind. I need you to go down there and be an atonement for the sin. I need you to give your life to cover their sin that they might be forgiven. And we know today, how they, and the Bible says, and whereby we do know that we know him and we keep his commandment. So how do I come in contact with the blood of Christ and the propitiation that God did for us? That happens in baptism. We understand from the word of God, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, I think was read this afternoon, that I need to understand John 3:16, God loved me so much that Christ died for my sins. And then when Christ died for my sins, he shed his blood on the cross. The Bible teaches me the commandments of God is that I hear the three facts that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. He died for my sin. He was buried and rose again the third day. I believe that. I repent of my sin. I make the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I become water baptized. And now the propitiation that Jesus did, now it comes into full circle because now I become a child of God. I become a member of the Church of Christ. Now I please God and that I've done what God has said for me to do. We keep the commandments of God and obey the Lord. So if there's someone here today that want to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.